You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome or welcome back to Black Hair in the Big Leagues presents the Salisha Show, you guys. I got somebody on this call today. She actually tears me up. I've not said that about anybody who's come on this show. Am I right? Well, you're about to find out why. Okay, here is a little brief synopsis about her. Okay, she's performed at regional theaters all over the country, including Sac Music Circus and Walnut Street Theater. She's done national tours with Memphis and Aladdin. Come on, big shows. And made her Broadway debut as OBC. We're saying original Broadway cast in Tina, the Tina Turner musical, and freaking, like, she does the dang thing. Okay, and while she was backstage, she's a swing in that show, which is, really, of all the shows to swing, that just seems really, really hard. You guys, I still remember that dance call, and whew, it was embarrassing, okay? It was so hard. And she does all of that. She covered everybody. While she was backstage as a swing in the Tina Turner musical, she built an empire, a fitness and nutrition coaching business called Bia. Oh, and she recently entered into her first bodybuilding competition and, I don't know, got first place. So please help me welcome my colleague and my personal trainer, Michelle West.
Hey, that was a great introduction. Thank you so much. That was so good.
Girl, you know how to whip somebody, okay? And still have their respect, too.
Yeah.
What is that?
I think it's important to meet people where they are. You know what I mean? Like, the reality of the situation is this. Everybody is very busy. We live very crazy lives. And also, when people come on with me, I guess, as a coach, is that I have to learn everything about you and what you've done in the past. So it's not even just really starting from square one. It's starting from what was going on prior to that, right? Because that's what I had a whole conversation with you were before I took you on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's basically just meeting the person where they are. But if I know the potential to be able to push a little bit more, then I'm going to push you for sure.
See, you've got a gift. And I want to talk to you about a few things, but, like, can we just go back to the origin? Because, okay, we all had to, like, kind of, like, renavigate a little bit during the pandemic. But you started this, you've been sustaining it, and it's been growing. But can we go back to the very beginning? It didn't happen during the pandemic.
I really started working on my personal trainer certification and working on the gym floor when I was in during the pandemic. So I really wasn't coaching people one-on-one online. I was more so doing the one-on-one personal training in person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I worked at 24 Hour Fitness, which is really, like, right down the street from my house. I still work out there and I don't work there. But that's where I started personal training people one-on-one.
Okay. So then when did it switch?
When literally during the beginning of my process of being at 24 Hour Fitness, I told them immediately that this is a temporary job for me. And they were like, what? We don't understand. And I was like, yeah, this is temporary. I want to be learn personal training. Obviously, I want to be on the gym floor. I want to get that one-on-one with the clients. But theater is taking a pause right now because we literally are not, the shows are not happening. And once the shows come back, my dream and my aspiration is to be on Broadway. And I know that it's going to happen as soon as this comes back. So I'm just letting you all know that I'm not going to be here forever. And they were like, no one really comes in with that expectation or like that intention to be like, hey, I'm not going to be here forever. But I just wanted to be very open and honest with them before they hired me. On. So I was like, look, this is what it is. Broadway comes back. I'm definitely going to be on Broadway. I literally told all of my, I was even doing group fitness classes there as well. So I was teaching two fitness group fitness classes and training about 15 or 20 clients. And I was like, once Broadway came back, I was like, I know I'm booking a show. And I was auditioning. So I didn't even have Tina yet at that point, but I was auditioning a lot. And then I left the personal trainer job because it was just too much for me to be able to audition in the city or get all these tapes in. I was just like, it's just popping off right now and it just doesn't make sense. So I stopped the personal training job and literally a month later, I got a call from Tina.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I met you when you were backstage. Like literally we took our first call. You're backstage at Tina. Booking clients. I Venmo'd you $1,000 before you were even out of the building. I was like, oh my goodness, I want to work with her right now. Here's my money. And that was back then. I mean, if you're listening to this, prices are probably different. Blah, 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 blah. But I'm just.
Today's price ain't yesterday's price.
Correct. But the point is that to me, that was a lot of money. And I had no hesitation. Like you were able to like, you were at work while doing a mega hustle. How on freaking earth? Energetically, Michelle, how did you handle both? Because I feel like if you have energy going towards one area, how do you have enough to go towards another area?
Sure. That's a great question. I mean, I was really focused on that time. I feel like the pandemic really just opened my eyes to be able to be like, no, you can run your own business. You can do your own thing. You don't necessarily have to depend on the theater paycheck to be able to be happy. And that was really my eye opener for me. So I took it in a different way of just being like, you know what? I'm just going to take that by storm. I don't want to stop. And when I first got the call, when I first auditioned for Tina, right after, this is something to bring up too, because it's really important. When I first auditioned for Tina, after I left my personal trainer job, I did not get it. They told me no. And I was like, okay. Then at that audition, I was really upset and I was already thinking about getting a bodybuilding coach to be able to train for a bodybuilding competition. So once I said no, once Tina said no to me, I was literally just like, all right, F theater, not doing it anymore. Gonna go bodybuilding competition, got my coach. That was my thing. I wasn't even going to go back. And then I got the coach. And then literally a week later, I got a call from Tina saying that they wanted me. So I didn't even go back into the room. They offered me the swing position from that call that was like 2 weeks prior. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to stop doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah, it brings you joy.
Because Tina was putting me on their timeline and I had my own timeline that I wanted to do. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the bodybuilding thing. Obviously, I do want to make my debut, my Broadway debut. I didn't think that was going to be a swing position, but at the end of the day, it actually ended up working out in my favor because then I could focus my energy on learning the show. And then once I had the show learned, then I could focus my energy on training and my competition. And then I just kind of fell in love with it. Fell in love with the nutrition side. I obviously love my coach. I fell in love with just everything to put it together. And I knew that there was a missing piece, especially when I got my coach. There was a missing piece to training people one-on-one in the gym. And training people one-on-one in the gym is literally just telling people, okay, come train with me 3 times a week. The only way that you're going to be able to get results is if you're training with me seven times a week and you're working your body to the, you know, core, and that's the only way you'll get results. But the reality of the situation is that there's much more to getting the result than it is working out 7 times a week. So whenever I say my prices to somebody, somebody is like, oh, it's expensive, like you just said. But the reality is you're getting everything from me instead of you're just getting a personal trainer who's telling you, you got to come here. And personal trainers are not cheap. Personal trainers are expensive. So the way that I'm presenting it may be seeming like you're putting up a lot of money at front. But the reality is that people who get personal trainers at gyms, they're paying $75 to $125 a training session for 6 months. That's a lot of money. That's way more than what I'm offering. And then you're not getting the result. But the reality is when Celicia and I worked together, she paid $1,000 up front. She got results in 3 months. So
I mean, and obviously, like, I've posted about you. I have, like, told my friends about you. Some of my friends are training with you. I wouldn't be talking to you on this thing about this if I was like, no, like, it is a great system and you've got something great going. And a big part of it is energy for me, Michelle. And it is. And working with somebody who's so passionate about it, it is just inspiring. And you got me where I wanted to be for my wedding. Like, those pictures always will, like, that exists. I did. I did that.
And then the reality of the situation is that you did do it, right? I'm the coach to encourage you to do it. And I can lead a horse to the water, but I can't make a drink. This is what I say. You did it, right? It's not me. I'm giving you the tools. I have the knowledge. I have the data. I'm looking at that in the background, but you really do it. The client is the one that does it. And as long as I'm teaching them that it's a part of the lifestyle, that's all that matters. Because we just have a lot of industry folk who feel as though that they need to do the most to be able to get results. But the reality is even when I was working with you, Celicia, I literally took half of your training away. And I said,
yes, you did.
Chill out. So, which I love teaching people that. I love being able to, like, be in this space and just say, like, let me take what you're doing as far as your training is concerned. Let me swap it out a little bit and let me get you the results the right way. And let's make this a lifestyle change instead of thinking that it's a 6 week shred program.
Yeah. You've definitely taught me for the long haul. Like, it's more than just a crash diet for the wedding. Like, I know what to do now, even going into the holidays, I feel like. Okay. All right.
And that stays consistent. And you've been consistent since after your wedding. You know what I mean? And it's not like these tools are going to go away. You know what I mean? It's like, no, if it's working for me, why would I stop it? You know?
So let me ask you about you, because you just went into a bodybuilding competition. You freaking kicked ass. And that is hard. Like, I've gotten to watch your body change over the last 8 months of training with you, and you do our check-ins and stuff. I'm watching you. Your body has changed quite a bit. What kind of discipline goes into that for your body to morph so drastically for you to win on stage?
It's a different type of discipline for sure. You know, it's so interesting too, when people say to me, when they come on with me, well, I don't want to be a bodybuilder, but you want a physique change. The reality of the situation is that you have to change what you're doing currently to be able to get a result. So some people don't want to change, but the reality of the situation is that you have to. Otherwise, if you weren't changing, that means that everybody would be walking around freaking shredded and nobody would have an issue. There would be no problem. But there is a problem. So obviously something has to change. So I do take I challenge my clients to be like, just because you don't want to be a bodybuilder doesn't mean that you can't change. You can't do what you have to do what you're doing right now. You have to change something. Something has to give. Now, the next level of that is me going into a bodybuilding competition, and that is me being an athlete in this sport. So, right? So the reality of the situation is bodybuilding is a sport. I consider myself an athlete. I consider myself a bikini competitor, and I train like a bikini competitor. Mm. So when I everything is pretty much optimized on my side as far as my training is concerned. I train 4 times a week. Sometimes I do cardio based off of if I'm in a show or not, or sometimes I don't. If I'm in a show, if I'm not in a show, I won't do cardio. I'm sorry, if I'm not in a show, I will do cardio. If I am in a show, I don't do cardio. I make sure that my food is on point. I track food. That is the main thing when it comes to bodybuilding too, is that you have to make sure that your nutrition is on point. It is the key and the number one thing to the sport.
Have you cheated before? Like before this lifestyle that you are living and leading, what were your eating habits like growing up?
That's a great question. My eating habits were very much so the food chain, I guess you could say. I mean, the food pyramid, yeah, where, you know, you really see like the major of your food being at the bottom of the chain. So that shows you that you should be eating mostly those foods. Basically, it's like whole grains, rice, potatoes, bread, stuff like that. So those are the things that are at the bottom of the chain that you should be eating the most. And then the things that come up, say, like you should be eating the least. So like meat and eggs and protein is usually at the top of that pyramid. That was pretty much how I ate coming up. I was no stranger to sweets and cookies and cakes and stuff like that. Love that stuff. Always in my house. Sugary cereals, all of that stuff was in my house growing up. Mm. Like we were always given that. And I feel as though it's important to note that as coming up as a Black family living in Philadelphia, like you just provide for your children, which you weren't able to get. Like my parents, yeah, they weren't able to get what they were giving to us, right? Yeah. My mom never had sweets over the house. She was like, well, I'm gonna give my kids, you know, this.
Some sweets. Right.
So it was really kind of that. So you see that progression go on. We also the fortunate thing about us coming up is that we are a very protein heavy family. We eat a lot of meat. We ate a lot of fish. All of that stuff was literally always on my plate. I never was a stingy kid and I never was a picky kid. I ate everything, vegetables, fruit, and it literally.
What about McDonald's?
I did eat McDonald's every once in a while, but I wasn't like a McDonald's fiend, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither.
I was more of a Wendy's girl. Like if it was a Wendy's around, like the Wendy's burger was the one that I was getting. Like I was that person.
I mean, yeah, me too.
Literally, like there's nothing different between my, you know, past relationship with food and now. Like I literally ate at all the fast food restaurants. I ate out a lot. Like that was what we did. Like it was always like an abundance of food that was around me. And when I was on tour, I distinctly remember, and my husband can even speak to this, is like when I was on tour with Memphis, whenever I had a bus stop or a rest stop, I would go get a Cinnabon. Like every single time. My husband would be like, you're eating Cinnabons every time we stop. And I'm just like, yes.
And
I wouldn't be
like, what's it to you?
What's it to you?
What's it to you? Mind your business.
Absolutely.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Yeah. My diet was definitely considered like more of a carb focused diet than it was a protein focused diet. I would always go for carb foods. And then once I started getting into fitness, which was around 2017, 2018, I was an Orange Theory girl. So I was doing a lot of Orange Theory, high intensity work, lots of running. But I really was obsessed with the weights in Orange Theory. I really wasn't obsessed with the running. I liked it, but I wasn't obsessed with it. I really loved the weight section. And I changed my eating habits. So it was like, I wasn't eating Cinnabon anymore. I literally had this was Aladdin. This is circa Aladdin when I was on. So then I changed up my eating habits. I basically just bought pots and pans, filled it in my trunk, literally spices, everything. And I started cooking all of my food from home. I never really ate out. I literally
on
just
tour. More. That's not easy to do.
My whole trunk was dedicated to food, was like dedicated to a kitchen. That's what I did.
How did you balance? Like, did you ever go out with the cast?
I did go out with cast. I was never, I never really, I guess you could say, limited myself to things that I would eat on tour as far as going out with Cass. Whenever I went out with Cass, I went out with Cass. But remember, I had already been on Aladdin for a year and a half at that point when I started changing my eating habits. So it wasn't really like an abundant thing to me to be able to just go out to eat with my Cass anymore. We already been there, done that. And my husband had joined the tour at that point.
Done. Good night. Good night.
So it's just like, I'm not really hanging out with the Cass anymore. I'm hanging out with my husband. Well, we were engaged, you know, we got engaged on the tour. So we were just cooking our food from our Airbnbs. And that was literally when I started seeing change.
Wait, can
and
I ask? Like,
yeah.
Can I ask you a random question?
Sure.
Not that random, but I know that he's white and my husband's white.
Yes.
And you're black and I'm black.
Yes.
We have so much in common. Okay. I'm just curious. Do you remember how you were wearing your hair when you met him?
Yes. I was wearing wigs at the time.
Okay.
So I'm not really good at like a wig prep by any means. I do not like, I cannot cornrow my hair. You see these braids right here? I get these done. Like I do not. No. No cornrow, no nothing. That is not me. Like literally I just do twist outs. And that was how I was wearing my hair at that time. So I would twist my hair, I had it down, and then I had a wig over. And
okay,
my husband met me in like my wig phase.
Okay, so do you remember the first time that you took your wig off around him? Like that's a thing. Like how was that?
I'm actually trying to really remember that, but I think I was pretty honest with him in the beginning. I was just like, this is a wig. This is not my hair. And you know, that we have to do wig preps.
Right.
For the show. But we'll see what my hair looks like. And whenever he saw my hair, he was just like, your hair is so beautiful.
See? And I love that. I feel like sometimes it's my family who's the hardest on me. These white boys in these streets, they're like, I love your hair.
It's great, you know?
But I'm not going to lie, though. There is a little fear that comes to me. That comes with, okay, I mean, I'm past these days right now, obviously, but like going on a date, I've worn a wig, end of the night, I'm not gonna have sex with you, but we are gonna have a slumber party. And my wig is on the nightstand. And like, it's so normal to date me. I do that all the time, but now I forgot. I'm like seeing this shocked ass look on his face. Like, have you ever felt that? Like,
you know what? I feel like it's so interesting because I really wasn't in a wig phase until I started like really being into theater.
Okay.
When I was when I was like in the depths of theater of actually like working, the only reason why I was in that wig phase is because we had to wear wigs for the show. So I was like, well, I should get my own wig so that I could just put it on and not have to worry about keep doing my wig prep over and over. I'll wash my hair at the end of the week and that's it. But so when I was dating at first, most of the time I always had my hair out or I would have braids in that never really like, you know, I never really had that moment of like, I had to take off my wig.
Right. Okay. What about
that? I have had moments of like, I need to twist my hair.
Okay.
Or it's going to look crazy. And it's me spending, you know, an hour and a half twisting my hair.
I mean, honestly, like I was mad at Andrew the other day. We got in a fight. And do you know what he did while we were watching? We were still watching a show together, but I was mad at him. I can't tell you why I was mad at him because he's still trying to come out the doghouse. But I was I was scratching my.
Welcome to marriage.
I know. I was scratching my scalp and he goes, come here. And he started to give me a scalp massage. I was
the
like,
best thing ever.
This is a level of intimacy that they don't cover in the movies, honey.
Oh, period.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I was like, wait a minute. Okay, all right, I'm softening up. All right. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, maybe we can make love again. Okay.
I love that for you.
Okay, but what? Okay, so what about during the pandemic when you didn't have to be on stage, when you didn't have to like show up anywhere? Like for the business, how did you wear your hair during that time?
Braids.
The whole time?
Yeah.
I love your braids and the braids that you have now.
Thank you.
They got a lot of blonde in them too.
Yes, that's like my whole, that's my look. I love the blonde. That is my thing. And literally the blonde actually came from theater because every single show that I've ever done, they always put me in a blonde wig. Memphis, I was in a blonde wig. What else did I do? Hello Dolly, I was in a blonde wig. Legally Blonde, I was in a blonde wig. West Side Story, blonde wig. Literally every single show that I've ever done, I've always been blonde, some type of blonde.
And I'm now like, you like blonde in real life?
Yes, and now it's just been my blonde thing.
How
in
fun.
Real life. Yeah, so I just kind of have adapted that. I was like, actually, this looks better on me than the dark hair. But so that's what I just go for. And then I like actually like colored my actual hair blonde.
It
so
is? Yeah. Oh my gosh, did you get it done or did you do it yourself?
I got it done. I don't do my own hair.
Okay.
I can do, I do many things.
You do?
I cook. Yes. I personal train. I compete in bodybuilding competitions. I can sing. I can dance. One thing I don't do is dance. And that's okay. Yep. And I'm an awesome bowler too. I can bowl really
Shut
well.
Shut up, Michelle. And you know what? I'm so glad that you're saying that. I feel like a lot of people come on this show and they're like, yeah, yeah. So this is, even if they're making it up, they'll be like, mm-hmm, this is my process. And I, and I love that you're like, No.
I do not braid my hair. I do not do my hair.
Just
the only
get
thing
it done.
I will do to my hair is a twist out. Like that is my main thing to do. Like once this comes out, which it needs to come out after Christmas, this will come out. I will wash my hair. I will twist it. But it's time for me to go to the salon and get my trim. And then the braids will be right back in. But honestly, really, Salisha, the braids are just so easy for me when I'm training. Like when I'm doing my, when I'm training at the gym, when I'm going on the gigs, when I'm doing the things, like it just works for
me. And
they
look good.
So, yeah. So I'm like, I'm here for easy. Yeah. I can wrap these things up and just be ready to go in the morning. And also I must have to say, my husband loves my braided look.
I know I have to go so soon. I'm literally getting on a plane, but like, I really have to go. But I know Andrew's about to jump on a call and mess us up. So, but before I wanted to know, like the next time you're in a show, pretend you get in a show next week. Yeah. What are you going to do with your braids? Are you going to try to keep them or are you going to take them out?
I always ask them if I can keep them first and then I go from there.
And that's all we got today, folks. That's all I wanted to hear. Thank you. That is perfect. How can people follow you? How can people find you? How can people book you?
Hey, you're so hey. This is great. So you can find me on my Instagram at Shelley West, C-H-E-L-L-E-Y, West, W-E-S-T. You can find me on Facebook at Michelle West. And also my my website is Be A Nutrition. So you can find me at beanutrition.com and you'll find my consultation forms if you want to set up a consultation with me there to learn about coaching, or you can just hit me up on Instagram to ask me any questions that you may have. And honestly, if you might not want to coach with me, you just want some fitness, nutrition advice or theater advice, because I talk to theater people all the time too. Right. You can hit me up at Shelley West. I'm always in my DMs. So
y'all and everybody on Broadway is doing it. I'm just saying.
Hey. Trying to be the best out here.
I mean, honestly, you are, Michelle.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you for joining us today on Black Hair in the Big Leagues. And I love you so much.
I love you.
And also, I know that you're going to kick my butt again this week. So.
You best believe. I'm like, where's those training videos? Let me
see. Okay, that's all we got, folks. Bye.
Bye.
And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I
feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Alicia Thomas. See you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.